Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to another episode of Living Well with Kathleen Saunders, your weekly podcast where we discuss the financial, physical, spiritual, and social well-being of everyday people like you and me. The information shared in this show is for general information purposes only and should not be used to make any personal changes to your lifestyle or health without consulting the appropriate financial, medical, or healthcare professionals. My guest today is Claudette. Claudette shares with us her journey of overcoming uterine fibroids and how she was determined not to have surgery, but to manage them naturally using herbs and changing her diet. All right. Well, hello there, Claudette, and thank you so much for being my guest today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to hearing you share your health journey with your uterine fibroids. So tell us, Claudette, how did your journey begin?
Okay, well, my journey started a long time ago. I am now 46 years old, and I was diagnosed with uterine fibroids in my early 30s. And it started off because I started experiencing some of the symptoms that are associated with uterine fibroids. And one of the major signs with uterine fibroids is heavy menstrual bleeding. Mm-hmm. I did not have any pain. I did not have, I wasn't falling ill. But I noticed that when it came time around for the menstrual cycle, that there was extremely heavy bleeding. So this prompted me to actually have a visit with my family physician. And so my family physician, after I told him, what I've been experiencing, he suggested that I do a pelvic exam. And I did a pelvic exam, and it turns out that I was diagnosed with fibroids. Now, at the onset of this journey, the fibroids were extremely small, but it caused a lot of, a lot of discomfort because of the heavy bleeding. So they were very small. Now, I'll just back up for a minute and just explain to the listeners what fibroids actually are.
Awesome.
Now, fibroids are actually, they're small muscle tumors, as some have read and have seen. They're small muscle tumors that actually grow in the uterus, and they're benign and non-cancerous tumors. And they have different types of fibroids. There's actually four different types of fibroids. You have, some of them that grow into the uterine wall, which are intramural fibroids. You have some that grow on the outside of the uterine wall, which are actually subserosal fibroids. And then you have some that grow on stalks or the stems, which are attached to the wall and can actually grow outside or inside of the uterine cavity. And those are pedunculated fibroids. And the final one is actually submucosal fibroids, which grow below the thin layer of the tissue found inside the uterus.
So where was yours located?
Mine are located inside of the uterine wall and outside.
Okay.
So I have it in various locations, and I was, and I was actually diagnosed with it being that there's a number of them in my uterus, ranging from various sizes. The largest, I will say, was diagnosed at about 10 centimeters.
Oh, wow.
10 centimeters is fairly large. You could say it's the size of a small to mid-sized orange. It's very large. And it would cause a lot of discomfort, and it would cause a lot of symptoms apart from the heavy bleeding. So just to let all the listeners know that, these, as I mentioned, they're small. They're usually small. They start off small. And mine started off as a size of a pinhead. diagnosis, you know, when he looked at the pelvic exam, he says, you know, they're very small, they're very tiny, even though it's causing you heavy bleeding, but it's not a situation where it requires surgery. So I thought, okay, that's fine. But because I did not have the knowledge and I did not dig further on, you know, how to get rid of them or how to shrink them, I sort of just let it be. And over the course of some years, it grew to a very large size. And as I mentioned, you know, about 10 centimeters. And it grew like that because, you see, fibroids feed off of some things. There's some things that the fibroid likes, and it grows very rapidly.
Right.
And then there's some foods that actually can shrink the fibroids. And I'll get into that a little bit later, where you don't even have to have surgery. And, you know, a lot of people think that that's the only solution. I was also given that option as well, you know, because I have so many fibroids, you know, they were saying, well, right now your only option is to get a hysterectomy. And I did not want that. And so I started, you know, praying and started researching on my own. And I wish I had acted quicker when I was first diagnosed, just so that, you know, I could shrink and get rid of them in totality. So one of the things I also wanted to mention is that, you know, when it comes to fibroids, you know, the statistics are that about 20 to 80% of women will develop fibroids by the time they reach the age of 50.
Mm-hmm.
And more so, Black women are at higher risk to get fibroids. It's been said that they're at higher risk to get fibroids. I'm not sure why they're at a higher risk, but they do get fibroids at an earlier age. And about up to 80% of African-American women will get fibroids at some point in their life.
Wow.
And it's a high statistic.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors are not sure, they're not sure as to why African-American women or Black women are so much of a high risk to getting this. There's so many factors involved. There's so many things. I mean, one of the things I found out that contributes to the growth of fibroids is too much protein in the diet. If you have a lot of protein, so I just want to let the listeners know that I am a vegetarian. And so when I was first diagnosed in my early 30s, I remember particularly at that time, I was drinking a lot of soy milk, you know, eating a lot of soy products. And one of the things that is a major red flag when it comes to fibroids is soy products. Mm-hmm. Somehow, soy is something that grows fibroids like a weed. I mean, it really feeds off the fibroids, and it also causes abdominal pain with the growth. And so traced back in my mind, you know, what I was doing when I was first diagnosed, you know, I was drinking a lot of soy milk, and soy is bad on a lot of levels. At least for me, I'm not here to, you know, tell anybody stop buying soy, but I know that for me in particular, that soy is a no-no, just due to the size of the fibroids that I had and the discomfort that it brought. And so soy, the chemical makeup, it's laced with a lot of chemicals and, you know, genetically modified agents that grow the fibroids. And one of the things that a lot of medical professionals, they recommend people who have fibroids not to ingest anything that's laced with a lot of chemicals. Somehow that's a contributing factor to the growth of fibroids as well. So a lot of people do take organic, you know, fruits and vegetables so that it doesn't trigger the growth of the fibroid.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that I've been trying to do. You know, I try to you know, eat more organic foods and eat more fruits and vegetables.
So can I just now, stop you? I just wanted to, you know, ask, so did you have a history? Did anyone in your family have fibroids, your mother, your sisters? Because it is also a genetic thing.
Yes, there's many factors. So yeah. One of the things could be genetic. And yes, I found out that my mother suffered with them when she was young. Yeah. And my sister is suffering with them now. So genetics does play a role into, you know, one being diagnosed with fibroids. And genetics plays a factor. There's other things that play a factor in as to how one gets it. I mean, medically, the doctors don't know what causes fibroids. They don't know what actually causes fibroids in the body. I mean, there's been all kinds of speculation and all kinds of, you know, suggestions as to how, you know, it would grow inside the body, but there's no real scientific evidence as to just exactly how this happens. But I do know that certain foods do set it off and do increase the growth of the fibroid, such as soy products, such as dairy products, such as things that are very salty or things that are very sugary. These are some of the things that the fibroid likes, and therefore it increases its growth.
You feed upon
it. Yes. And so it's best to stay away from those types of things when you have, when you suffer, especially if you have large ones. I mean, it can cause all kinds of discomfort. It causes leg pain. It causes abdominal pain. It causes severe cramping. It causes severe bloating. That's one of the things that I could not handle because fibroids cause a great deal of bloating just because the fibroids are taking up a lot of space within the uterus and just in your stomach in general. So it sort of creates a balloon effect, especially when it comes to, you know, that time of the month where your menstrual cycle comes around. It creates this balloon effect, and they say the best way to get rid of that is to actually drink a lot of water. You know, one of the key things to getting rid of fibroids is to detoxifying your body. One of the best ways you can detoxify your body, of course, is drinking at least 2 liters of water per day. And that will flush out a lot of the toxins because fibroids are actually toxins that are thriving in the body. And it's a foreign object in the body. And to get rid of it, you know, the number one thing should be water. And that will help to flush it out. Also, consuming a lot of fruits and vegetables. Now, I went into prayer in regards to this, you know, trying to get advice from the Lord because he knows best. And one of the things that the Lord revealed in regards to getting rid of fibroids is consuming everything green. Everything green. So your dark leafy green vegetables, you know, juicing. You know, I've seen and heard a lot of testimonies where people have been cured of the fibroids just from juicing consistently, going on a strict diet. And because when you're doing juicing, especially if it's a green juice, it will detoxify your body a great deal. So just juicing, you know, with greens is a way that you can get rid of the fibroids, but it has to be done consistently. And there's other things the Lord has shown me. He's shown me that I should be drinking beet juice. The reason why I should be drinking beet juice is because prior to being diagnosed with the fibroids, I was born with sickle cell anemia, the trait, not the disease. And so having sickle cell and then having fibroids is it's like a double whammy because it has to do with blood loss. And you know, when you have anemia, it has to do with your blood cell count. And it has to do with the shape of your blood cells. Instead of a nice round, you know, spherical blood cell, when you have sickle cell anemia, your blood cells are actually are shaped like a half a moon or like a sickle. I don't know if you know what a sickle, but a sickle is something that they use to, chop crops and these types of things. And your blood cells are shaped like a sickle, and that's where the word sickle cell
came
comes
from.
from.
Sure, yeah.
And so what happens is when your blood cells are shaped like a sickle or like a half a moon, then it's harder to get the adequate amount of oxygen that the blood cells need to, get to, various parts of your body, your organs, and, just everywhere it needs to get to. It carries the oxygen, right? So when you have the sickle cell, you're lacking, you're already lacking oxygen in the blood. So in order to pump more oxygen in the blood, you need greens. You need beet juice. You need, these are some of the things that will pump oxygen back into the blood. And so because I had sickle cell all my life, when I was a kid, I had to take some things. I remember I had to take molasses, and my mom would give me all kinds of things because I had the sickle cell. It causes tiredness. It causes, just you kind of lethargic sometimes, causes you, gives you brain fog sometimes. And these are the things that I suffered with all my life. Now, I had to go on, iron supplements. And throughout the years, I wasn't consistent prior to, being diagnosed with the fibroids. But since being diagnosed, I am consistent with my iron. And, I have increased my, green juice intake and, other things that, would promote, getting the oxygen that I need in my blood cells. So when you have sickle cell anemia and you have fibroids, it's how am I gonna say? It's a real danger zone, because I notice that when it's that time of the month, when I have the menstrual flow, I have a fast heart rate every single month, even to this day. Even though I've upped my iron intake, even though I've increased my greens, I still have a fast heart rate. And so that's because my body is fighting for, that oxygen. It's fighting for that water. Water also plays a key role into all of this, as I mentioned earlier. And getting that 2 liters, sometimes, there are some periods where I don't get the 2 liters in each day. And my body fights for the water, because what happens is all the organs are fighting. There's so much blood loss, right, at that particular time of the month, that my organs start to fight for, water. And it makes the heart pump faster. It makes the heart work harder, because the blood is being released at a faster and a heavier pace than normal, right? And that blood is needed to, pump, in and out of the heart and various to other, organs and stuff. So it's like a fight each and every month. But I notice that if I double up on my iron intake at that time of the month, then I don't have the fast heart rate so much.
Oh, wow.
So yes, there's a connection there with the fast heart rate. So
I wanted to just interject and say here. So it's almost like your organs are competing for the water, for to get the oxygen that they all need to thrive on, right?
yes, and one of the things I wanted to say is that, as I said, I was diagnosed pre, like before I was diagnosed with the fibroids, I had sickle cell anemia, the trait. But having fibroids actually does cause anemia. So even if you did not have, anemia prior to having fibroids, it more than likely will develop, because, these are some of the issues and the complications, because, it causes a drop in your red blood cells,
That's
right?
right, yeah.
And it causes, when you have a drop in your red blood cells, as I mentioned before, it causes fatigue, and all this heavy blood loss. And usually when I have, when it's that time of the month, I get really, really bad headaches. And it actually takes me a couple of days for me to bounce back after the flow is over. It takes me a couple of days to bounce back. I really have to be really calm, and because it's taken quite a bit from me. So,
Wow.
but I want to thank God because, just based on my research and doing all my homework, trying to see how I can get rid of this thing, I've learned that yes, diet is the number one way to get rid of it. And I did not have any surgeries at all, but my fibroids have shrunk significantly. And that's because I have taken herbs and I have taken a lot of green juice and beet juice. And so beet juice and greens and these things bring back the things that your body is missing. Because your body expels a lot of the nutrients and stuff that it needs, during that time as well. So I want to thank God because just being consistent, with the juicing and being consistent with taking herbs, fibroids to.
I wanted you to get you to share. What kind of herbs were you using?
There were a number of herbs that I was taking in a mixture. And I can't remember them all, but the I know the major ones were dandelion, licorice root, burdock, I think it's called. And there are some other ones, but I know that dandelion plays a major role. There's something in dandelion. I don't know what it is, but dandelion is a powerful herb, and that you can take if you have a severe case of fibroids like I did. They were very large, and consistently taking the dandelion has allowed the fibroids to shrink.
So
And
dandelion
so,
is a diuretic, so that will help with your the cleansing your liver. And same thing with the burdock. So those are some of the benefits from those herbs that you've mentioned there. Was black cohosh or vitex or anything like that, were any of those the herbs that you were using during
yes, I
COVID?
think, yes, I do think Vitex was in there as well.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, it doesn't taste the greatest.
No.
It doesn't taste the greatest,
Haven't you
but
noticed anything good for you? Nothing good for you ever tastes great, right? What if it's good for you,
that's
it's not going to taste great.
right. That's right. So, yes, that was in there. And now one of the things I wanted to mention is that with the herbs, you do have to be careful because the Lord showed me, the dosage, that I'm supposed to take. Because at the onset of taking the herbs, I didn't pray and ask the Lord what the dosage should be. I mean, I would be drinking a large canteen of the herbs. I would boil it in the morning and just drink a large. And I want to tell you, that is not recommended. I do not recommend anybody doing that, taking anything, from half a liter to a liter. It's not recommended because it's too much.
That's right.
And it causes you to really, it will really go through your system. You will be in the bathroom for a number of days. So that is not recommended. That is not recommended. When it comes to healing, it's a slow process, right? And it has to be done right with the proper dosage. And so when I prayed, the Lord did show me, what the ratio should be, herbs versus the amount of water that I have to use. And so I was using, I think it was 2 tablespoons of the herb to like 1 cup of water. And yeah, you cannot do it. You cannot do that 2, 3 times a day. Just do it once or twice, and that's fine.
That's
And
right.
that's fine.
And you're
But the
right.
key thing is, yeah.
And you're right. It depends on the herb. Generally, in herbal medicine, what I'm learning in school right now, the ratio is 1 to 1. So if it's 1 teaspoon of the herb to 1 cup of water. And like you say, it depends on the herb. Maybe the maximum time you can do it is 3 cups of tea a day.
Right. So you exactly. So you allow it to brew. And sometimes what I would do is I would take the herbs and I would allow it to brew actually overnight, just so that it's a better strength. And Oh, I think the other thing that was in there was time. Yes, time. Time is very, very powerful. And I remember a sister telling me that we're actually not supposed to be consuming time because it's a medicine. But time is very, very powerful. If you know anyone wants to do their research, time was one of the herbs that were in there, and I'm telling you, it definitely works. Now, the key thing about this is that if you're on a journey to getting healing and you're wanting to shrink the fibroids, what's important to know is that you cannot be drinking your green juices and taking your herbs and then eating burgers and fries. It just does not work that
Right,
way.
right.
So you have to be restricted to a diet that everything has to be in balance. Everything has to complement each other. So if you're drinking your green juices, that means you are also eating a lot of raw, or your meals are just fruits and vegetables and a lot of natural stuff. Because I found that I would take the herbs, and I would drink these green juices, and then I would eat a big plate of pasta, and it does not work.
Right,
You will
right.
see no, you will see no improvement in your condition. You have to stick to a strict diet in order to see results.
That's right. And it's everything from the earth that you've mentioned too, the herbs,
Yeah.
and all the foods and the vegetables, everything is in its natural state that you're using, right?
Everything is in its natural state. And I will say this, that when you consume your vegetables in raw form, it is very, very powerful for detoxifying and shrinking the fibroids, because you're getting everything that will kill the fibroids. Your body's getting everything that will shrink the fibroids, right? Because I noticed that, I've gone on, strict diets where I just do raw for like 1 week, and I notice a significant change. I used to sit down sometimes, and when you're sitting in an upright position, I would feel like a golf ball size, mass in my lower abdomen every time I sit down.
Oh, wow.
And yes, and now I have a hard time looking for, feeling it. It's not, I don't feel it
That's a
at
good
all.
thing.
Yeah, I don't feel it at all, at
Right.
all.
That's awesome. That's really good.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just really saddened by when I hear a lot of women who suffer with this, and the doctors tell them that the only option is to get a hysterectomy, which is not true at
Definitely
all.
not. Definitely
There
not.
are ways you can shrink this just by your diet. Imagine this. God is so good where he's allowing us to eat to heal. I don't know. That is so powerful. In order to heal, we have to eat food. And everybody loves to eat,
That's
right?
right, yeah.
And so, as I said before many times, that all the natural foods that are available to mankind have medicinal properties in it. That's how good our God is. He created these fruits and vegetables and all these plants and with medicinal properties
That's
in it
right. That's right.
for healing.
And Claudia, I want to
So
stop you for 1 second. I'm just reading here. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with the seed in the fruit. You shall eat them for food." Right? So definitely, God knew what he was doing when he created planet Earth, and he gave us all what we needed, like you say, all the medicinal herbs out there, the fruits and the vegetables, man's natural diet. And if we stick to man's natural diet, I'm sure we can eliminate most of, if not all, the diseases that plague so many people today.
that's correct. What better, God knows best, right? He knew, as you said, what he was doing when he created these herbs and when he created these plants. And he knew that man was going to be plagued with a lot of sickness and disease, And God's goal at the end of the day, every day, all day, is to bring his people back onto him. He desires for us to be in good health. He desires for us to be, sickness free, right?
That's right.
So That's one of the most powerful things that I find is that, in order to be healed, we have to eat, which is good. So right now, as it stands in my journey, the fibroids have shrunk a lot. They are not completely gone, but I will say that it is almost there. And all because of diet. I have not had any surgeries, as I mentioned. I've had a couple of pelvic exams, and even when I went to the last exam, they said, you might want to consider surgery. And I said, no. Even my doctor was getting angry because she's like, you need to have surgery because you have large. And I said, no, I am going to do it by strictly diet. So I know when I go for my next exam, I will not have any fibroids in my body. I'm
Okay.
giving God, the praise and thanks, all because of God. He put the medicinal properties in the herbs and in the plants for me to heal and to restore. And so, one of the things I forgot to mention earlier in regards to shrinking the fibroids, apart from, your green juices, your beet juice, and lots of water and raw food, is that I do castor oil packs. Now, castor oil is a very powerful, I guess it's a bean, the castor bean. Very, very, very powerful. That little bean itself. So what I do is I, and the listeners can, go on to, YouTube and see how this is actually done. But I do a castor oil pack where I take like a towel, or you can use a cheesecloth or not a cheesecloth, sorry, flannel, a piece of flannel, that's it. And you can pour the castor oil on it, and then you press it against the area that's where it has the fibroid, and then you put a hot water bottle on top. And I'm telling you, castor oil in itself detoxifies the uterus. It's very powerful. It gets rid of all the toxins in the uterus specifically. So if you put a castor pack on your lower abdomen, you will notice a change in your stools, for example. You'll notice a lot of waste being eliminated from your body because the castor oil has some powerful properties in it that detoxify in the uterus area. And that's exactly where you want detoxification because, as I said, the fibroids are actually toxins that have built up inside the body. So that's another way, you can get rid of them is to do castor oil packs consistently. I have a tendency to do it at night, just before bed. And you can actually sleep with the castor pack throughout the whole night. You don't have to leave it on only for a couple of hours. It's up to you. Everybody is different, but for me, I generally leave it overnight.
Awesome. So,
And
can I ask you a question about that? Because I too suffer with fibroids, and just like you said, I had the heavy bleeding. I went to the doctors, and the doctors told me they were also small. But then, courtesy of YouTube and researching like yourself, I discovered the Vitex and used that, and another grain called teff, which is an ancient grain that the Ethiopians people Ethiopians used to make injera. And I found that was that worked really well, and that really helped to reduce my flow every month. And where I was going with this is the castor oil pack that you mentioned. I've heard about that, but I've never actually tried that. But listening to you today, it sounds fairly simple enough to do that. So I think that's something else that I'm going to incorporate in my personal regime in helping to reduce my fibroids also. So it's really interesting and information sharing, because there's always someone who's done something that you haven't done. And listening to you here share about that, I think that's very powerful and very, very important to know. So I thank you for sharing about this castor oil pack. One more question about that. So you said you can keep that on overnight. Now, did you do this before your cycle, after your cycle? When would you do the castor oil pack?
okay, good question. And I'm glad you asked that. It's key as to when it should be done. So castor oil packs should be done when the flow is over. It's recommended that it's not done during your menstrual flow, and that's because it will increase the flow.
Uh-huh.
And if you do it just days before the flow is supposed to start, it will actually induce the flow.
Oh, wow.
So just like when a woman is pregnant, because remember the castor oil is focusing on the uterus. So just like when a woman is pregnant, and if she wants to induce the labor, they usually give some women castor oil to drink. If you ingest castor oil at the time of, you know, close to your delivery, you will deliver that baby right away.
That's right. Yeah.
and so it's kind of the same idea where it will induce your flow to start prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
It's not recommended for you to do the castor oil pack, you know, days up until it before it starts or during. So the best time to do it is I tend to give myself a week. Once the cycle has finished and it's been a week, I restart the castor oil packs.
Okay.
It also helps with the bloating because, as I said, fibroids do come along with bloating. And so the castor oil does help to, you know, reduce the bloating. And the key thing about the castor oil is it promotes circulation to the uterus, which will prevent, you know, menstrual cramping and all these types of things. So the key thing is it promotes circulation because it's detoxifying.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's one of the key things that you need in the uterus, because the fibroids sort of hinder or block the circulation in the uterus every single month. We know that, you know, having fibroids, it's you're basically dealing with inflammation.
Yeah.
And castor oil is one of the best things to promote, detoxification and circulation within the uterine environment, and to bring in that fresh, you know, oxygenated blood to improve the uterine lining. That's exactly what your uterus wants. The castor oil packs, now, just earlier we spoke about, or you mentioned rather, you know, the liver, and there's a connection with your liver and fibroids, because we know that the liver is the organ in your body that gets rid of the waste.
Filtration.
So all, mm-hmm. Right. So all the waste that is being eliminated from your body, your liver is that machine that sort of processes or gets rid of that waste.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we draw the dots together, we connect the dots. So if you have the fibroids, which are, large amounts of waste, you know, it's causing a lot of toxification in your body, then you're going to have issues with your liver as well. Now, not to say that you'll be diagnosed with a liver disease or a condition, but the castor oil will also detoxify the liver. And one of the other things it will help is to actually balance the hormone okay. in the uterus area, because at the onset of this podcast, I should have mentioned also that, you know, having fibroids, one of the findings with regards to fibroids is that it's actually a result of an imbalance in your hormones, mm-hmm. right?
Right, right.
So the goal and the key is to, yes, detoxify, but also to get your hormones back in a balance, mm-hmm. so that everything can function properly like your liver.
Right.
Okay. So I highly recommend, you know, any of the listeners or anybody who is suffering with fibroids to definitely do a castor oil pack, where you just take a piece of flannel and you have your castor oil, and you can use a plastic wrap, like Saran wrap, to just wrap around the flannel. I don't use it, I don't use the Saran wrap because I want it to penetrate, you know, through my stomach closer. But you can use a piece of Saran wrap over the flannel and then put a hot water bottle or a heating pad on top of it, so that way it will help the detoxification process.
Brilliant. That's really good information that you're sharing here. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just did a little research myself, and you're right about castor oil being beneficial for the liver, as it's definitely detoxifying the liver and pulling out all those all those impurities, all those toxins out of there.
Yes.
And balancing your hormones. And we definitely need to have our hormones balanced, because, you know, when it's out of balance, you know, then we experience, whether, you know, these fibroids and other ailments that women go through, infertility, different issues that affect women in different ways, the menstrual cramping and all different things that unfortunately we have to go through. Well, we don't have to go through. Once we understand how to put our bodies back in homeostasis, you know, through the castor oils, through the eating, the right eating and the exercise and the drinking the water and all of those things, the body will just naturally heal itself. It's such an amazing machine that God has created. You know, he's given us the herbs. And there's a scripture, I believe it's in Revelations, that talks about herbs are for the healing of the nation.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, it's just so amazing how amazing that the human body is. Once we do our part by feeding it what it needs, instead of all the processed food that, you know, was not meant to enter our body, then we are giving our body the food that it needs to thrive and give us the best life and the best health that we possibly can have.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one other herb that that actually helps with the, you know, the heavy menstrual flow, you know, is yarrow. Y-A-R-R-O-W, leaf and flower. That is a very powerful herb where it sort of slows down the heavy bleeding.
Right.
And that can be taken, you know, before, during, and after, you know, the menstrual cycle. So that's something I also wanted to mention. That's very, it's a very powerful herb that helps with the controlling of the heavy bleeding, because that brings a lot of discomfort. For a lot of people like myself, you know, it's hard, because especially if you're in a working environment, it's very, very difficult, and you want that thing under control.
Oh yeah.
And so yeah, yarrow leaf is another thing that you know, you can take to sort of slow down the heavy flow.
Okay, so yarrow leaf was to slow down the heavy flow. Okay, awesome, great. So tell us today, how are things with you? So the fibroids have shrunk and your monthly cycles, your flow is back to normal now?
The flows are not totally back to normal, but I definitely see it's slower. Meaning that, you know, there's a big change. So I used to have to, you know, be changing all the time, you know, a lot of everything in its, everything as a whole has slowed down. Now, I mean, this could be for a couple of reasons. I mean, I am 46 years old, you know, and they say when you reach, you know, menopausal, you know, period in your life, that the fibroids will actually shrink on its own. I don't know. I haven't done enough research to say, yes, that's, you know, to be valid and true, but I've seen that out there on the internet that they will naturally shrink, and that's because the estrogen levels in your body, as you know, go closer towards menopause, the estrogen levels start to decrease, and so the fibroids no longer have anything to feed off of. Right. And so I don't know if that's one of the contributing factors as to why things have slowed down. Or is it just a result of, you know, my diet change? I mean, there could be a number of things, but I've definitely seen a slowdown. I've definitely seen a decrease in size. You know, my stomach used to be the size of a 6-month pregnant lady.
Oh, wow.
And I always had to hide it, you know, with, you know, like Spanx.
Okay.
You know, these things that hold in all the fat. And
right. Oh, wow. Yeah. So yeah. The things we have to do as women, eh?
Yes. I would buy those just to create a smoother look in my stomach, try to reduce my stomach size as much as I could underneath my clothing. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to wear, you know, the Spanx and all these things that I used to wear.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's not 100%, but it is getting there. So I just praise God.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, you've given us some great tips about what we can do. Alternative measures than to have to go with surgery is what the doctors tend to push for treating our fibroids. Some other things that I have read myself is definitely the lifestyle changes. And you've talked about, you know, herbs and different things like that. Another thing that I came across was to cut back on the alcohol if the person drinks. And this is basically due to the fact that alcohol raises the level of hormones needed to for the fibroids to grow. So, you know, if anybody out there listening who drinks, you might want to cut out your alcohol intake altogether if you're already concerned about your fibroids and, you know, getting rid of them. You know, there was a study that showed that if a woman drinks one or more beer a day, it increases their risk by more than 50%. Now, isn't that just crazy? One drink is going to increase your risk of having fibroids by 50%. Also, losing weight is another important thing that a woman could do. If a woman's overweight, then losing weight could be beneficial for her as the fat cells make estrogen.
Yes.
So
yes.
Those are some of the things that I had looked into myself, and also on my health journey with treating my fibroids naturally and incorporating a lot of the things that you've had mentioned. And another big thing are the hormone disruptors in the chemicals around us, whether it be through fertilizers such as pesticides and the plastics. Yeah. And I strongly recommend that women stop using, or people on the whole stop using, plastic water bottles. That you go for the stainless steel water bottles and the stainless steel containers and the glass dishes and things like that. Instead of, you know, we used to get the plastic containers to heat up our food in the microwave. That definitely is a no-no. Also, believe it or not, the cooking ware that we use a cast iron pot. And that is good because it also, because of it's a cast iron, it also helps to put back some of the iron in the food. And as women who are losing blood due to our menstrual cycle, we want as much iron as we possibly can get. Some other things would be dyes and paint and, you know, even your clothes from the dry cleaners. Who would have known the chemicals that, you know, they use in the dry cleaners that will have effect on you. But anything that's toxic, and this is why, you know, for me, I don't know about you, Claudette, but for me, I'm starting to go natural with my deodorant, with my toothpaste, with my laundry soap, and as much things as I can, because perfumes, which I love, I'm now realizing, understanding that they're not doing me any good. They are harming my body. All these toxins are going into my body and they're disrupting my hormones, and I have control to prevent that. So that's another thing that I'm adding to my journey of wellness.
Yes. And for me as well, I'm going at a slower pace. I haven't eliminated, you know, the laundry detergents, for example, that I, you know, I still buy the same laundry detergents, but yeah, it's a slow process. I'm trying to, you know, stray away from a lot of the perfumes and the dyes and, you know, all the, you know, just even household chemicals, you know, the sprays and all these things. Contribute to, you know, hormones, and it has an effect. So definitely I'm doing that, but I'm just doing it at a slow pace. So
your pace is different from my pace, and we're all on our own journey, right? None of us are walking this journey for two of us. We're all doing it independently. You had your fibroids in your early 30s. I just got mine about 2 years ago. Right. Or at least that's when I was diagnosed with it, was 2 years ago. So, you know, definitely they're playing at different stages in our lives. And so therefore we have to, you know, target them in different ways. And, you know, what works for you may not work for me and vice versa. So definitely take your time. You're on your journey. But the fact is, you are on your journey. And that's the most important thing. So I thank you so much for sharing all this information. Lots of tools to put in our toolkit of life and, you know, help us on our wellness journey. So I want to thank you so much for sharing today. Just want to ask you, do you have any final words that you want to share with the ladies listening today?
So anybody who's listening and, you know, is suffering with, you know, fibroids, especially if they're fairly large and you're going through the heavy bleeding every month and you're just wondering, like, you know, how to get rid of this thing. And if you've been given the only option with this diagnosis to get a hysterectomy, I will definitely take everything to the Lord in prayer. And if you're not somebody who is, you know, a Christian, I would actually do my research. I would go onto the internet. I would go onto YouTube and look at those testimonials where people have said, you know, it's been through diet where they have been cured. or healed of the fibroids. So I would look into that a lot further before you even consider doing a hysterectomy.
Awesome. Brilliant. Thank you. And that's so true. And anyone, you know, if it's one thing that I've learned this month in podcasting is research. Do your research. The information is out there. We've got access to the internet. Go on there, get some books and learn as much as you can. Take charge of your health yourself and don't leave your life in the hands of the doctors, because doctors don't know everything and they're not afraid to tell you that. So we have to turn around and take charge of our health. Thank you again and have yourself a great day.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoy the topic and found something that you can apply to your own life. Don't forget to share this episode with your family and friends. And remember, live well daily.